Take your Bibles, please. Turn to Amos chapter 3. Amos chapter 3, that's right before the book of Andy. You old timers knew that one. Everybody under the age of 40 is looking at me like, what's that mean? Amos chapter 3, we're going to read verses 10 through 15 together. I tell you what, let me just read these to you. You follow along silently. Amos chapter 3, it's right before the book of Jonah. Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, all the way towards the back of your New Testament, or Old Testament there, New Testament, one of those testaments. Amos chapter 3, verses 10 through 15, let me read aloud to you. You follow along silently. For they knew not to do right, saith the Lord, who store up violence and robbery in their palaces. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, an adversary there shall be even round about the land, and he shall bring down thy strength from thee, and thy palaces shall be spoiled. Thus saith the Lord, as a shepherd taketh out of the mouth of the lion two legs or a piece of an ear, so shall the children of Israel be taken out that dwell in Samaria in the corner of a bed, and in Damascus in a couch. Hear ye, and testify in the house of Jacob, saith the Lord God, the God of hosts, that in the day that I shall visit the transgressions of Israel upon him, I will also visit the altars of Bethel, and the horns of the altar shall be cut off and fall to the ground. And I will smite the winter house with the summer houses, and with the houses of ivory shall perish, and the great houses shall have an end, saith the Lord. Now, let me pray, and then we'll get started. Father, please, would you use tonight in a special way? Holy Spirit, calm our hearts. May our attention be focused on you. Lord, would you challenge us? Lord, so many times we get stirred, but we never change. We just feel an emotional stirring. But may tonight be a change, not just a stir. Please, in Jesus' name, amen. Here in Amos chapter 3, and if you'll listen to me, and young people, I want you ready. I've already got your names in my Bible, and I'll call you up as I need to. Malachi, could you push that door about 3/4 closed? I know it sounds funny to you, but I can hear my voice echoing down the hallway, and it's driving me nuts hearing myself twice, all right? It's not a very far drive either, just so you know. But here in Amos chapter 3, God is talking to the Jews, and he says, look, he says, and he uses a strange thing. He says, there, as a shepherd, he said, a lion attacked one of his lambs, and a shepherd saw it, and the lion's still chewing on the lamb. And the Bible says that he went over, and he shooed the lion away from it, and actually took the pieces of things out of the lion's mouth, took a couple legs out, or took a piece of an ear out of the lion's mouth that was chewing on his lamb. He was salvaging of it what he could. He was trying to spare all that he could that was there. He could not bring the life back to the lamb, but he could spare what there was. He could treat it with honor, and he could use it as a warning to others in the fold. Everybody look this way. Everything's okay, Brother Joel, take care of it, all right? I say that to say this. I'm going to have a little help tonight. Everybody look at me, all right? I'm better looking than Brother Joe anyway, all right? My head doesn't shine as much yet. I'm going to use the young people a little bit off and on through the sermon, and some of the ones that weren't so young. But this week, we went on the trip to the National Young Fundamentalist Conference in Kentucky. The Bible uses a term here. Look in verse 13. It says, hear ye and testify in the house of Jacob. Now, the house of Jacob was the Old Testament equivalent to what we would call the church. All right? That's okay. Let it be. It wasn't the Lord. All right? Now, the Bible says, let's testify in the house of Jacob, or in the house of the Lord. Our young people heard 8 sermons this week. This was no pretend thing. It wasn't just a play thing to go and have fun. It was It was for the purpose of spiritual things. Mrs. Moore, how about we just go ahead and pull that too? It's all right. They're not in trouble, but it's getting a little exciting in there. A little less out here. All right. Now, let me try to get my attention back. I'm going to ask them to come up here in a little while, a little at a time here, and testify about what they learned or what they got from the conference. Some things will be similar, some things will be different. We've not rehearsed it, just so you know. They're not polished speakers. Matter of fact, some of them are scared to death right now. And that's all right. I understand. I've been there. But I want you to see in them what God has done. Now, let me start by saying this. As a pastor, another word for pastor is the word shepherd. I understand this story in Amos 3 in a different way, and look at me. I understand what it means to watch somebody's life get hurt or ruined or destroyed and have to pull bits and pieces out and try to salvage what I can. I know what it's like. I've seen the effects of sin on people's lives. You know, I've seen the effects of alcohol, Brother Mike. And if I can keep one of our young people from being a drunkard, I'll do it. If I can keep all of you young people from ever touching a drop of liquor in your life, you'll be better off, I promise you. Amen. And by the way, you say, well, it can't be done. I'm 50 years old and haven't done it. You can do it.
Amen.
You can do it. Say, well, I'm an adult and I still am on it. God will save you from it. God will help you. Come see the preacher. I'll help pull you out of that mess. Amen. I promise you. You see, let me say this as pastor, as shepherd. I'm very proud of our teenagers.
Amen.
I really am. They're not perfect kids. Because they have you as parents. They're not perfect, but I tell you this, they're good kids. Man, did we have fun. You talk about a bunch of wild idiots. I mean, wild kids. We're it, man. We enjoyed the trip. Now, let me say it this way. When we started the trip, and I think I can speak for Brother Stoltz in this area, I saw 11 individuals get on a van. And by the end of Wednesday night church, I saw one group. They gelled as a group. Instead of these two sitting here and only talking to this person and these three sitting together and only talking, they were mixed up, they were shuffled together, and it was just like they had been together their whole lives. And it was that way the rest of the trip. And I watched it transform right in front of me. You got to understand something. I've been taking trips with teenagers for almost 35 years. I've been through a lot of trips with teenagers. I've traveled hundreds of thousands of miles with thousands of teenagers. That is no lie. I have been all over the country with teenagers, and I watched something gel together faster, tighter, and just the way it should, in a way I've never seen in all of my trips with young people in my entire ministry. So I was very pleased with that. Let me say this. Your preacher loves you, young people, more than you'll ever know.
That's right.
Sure. I mean that. I might be an old man, and I might be a little ornery from time to time, and I can get mean and nasty from time to time, and I can get a little tough in the pulpit from time to time, but it's because I love you. Whoops. Oops. Almost spilled the Methodist baptistry. Wait a minute. Can I tell you something? Now listen to this statement very carefully here. You thought your preacher was the strangest person in all the world till you heard 8 sermons that were just like your preacher preaches. You found out other churches there had a preacher just as mean and nasty as yours. You say, why are you that way? Because I've seen what sin does to people.
Yes, sir.
I have watched sin destroy lives. I've been to the funerals and preached over the caskets of teenagers who ruined their lives. I've been there as they sit in my office and I have to tell mom and dad that their child's pregnant or they got someone pregnant out of wedlock and they're teenagers. More times than I care to think about. By the way, that person's life isn't over, but it sure does change it a lot. I've been there to tell a parent that their teenager has died. I understand the heartbreak of a parent whose child goes astray. Can I tell you something? I've seen the end result of sin, and I don't want you traveling down that road. Now, young people, listen to me. You think you're invincible, but you're not.
That's right.
You think you're better than you are, and you think you know everything. I'll use my favorite terminology here. You think you're hot snot on a silver platter, but you're nothing but a cold booger on a paper plate right now. You think you got it all together? You ever want to know the answer to a question? Ask a high schooler. They can tell you everything. They know exactly what to do. No, they don't. They don't even know how to wash behind their ears yet. Now, I say that to say this. You have got to understand something, young people. This old preacher loves you. Everybody look at me. I love you more than you'll ever know. You say, it's not easy to live the way you preach, preacher. I know, I've been trying to do it for a long time. I didn't say you're going to be perfect. But I will tell you this. It does work. You'll have less heartache. You'll have less sorrow. You won't have the effects of sin on you as much. You won't be scarred up as much as others are. I enjoyed getting to know our young people. I enjoyed learning their personalities. Brother Scott, your two daughters are hilarious. It took me all of that long to figure them out. Now, Elizabeth looks like her mama, but acts like her daddy. Adriana looks like her daddy and acts like her mama. As soon as I got that figured out, didn't take me real long, man. We had it going. I had Elizabeth wound up in church. She was trying to slap me a few times. It was great. Now, I say that to say this. I want what's best for y'all. I really do. I want what is best for all of you. I'm not an old, old man. But everybody listen to this statement real quick here. You teenagers, listen to me. I'm an old man to you. I got you. All right? But let me say this. This old man just wants what's best for you. I want you to stand at the altar one day, and I want to do your marriage ceremony with you being clean and pure.
Yes.
I want to be able to be your preacher, and you stand there and say, I've never rustled an unholy skirt. We've not kissed till we got married. You're a virgin. And you're not a drunkard, a drug addict, or living in sin. I have no regrets. Talk to somebody who's been down that road, they'll tell you about all the regrets. Promise you. I'll promise you. Whether you succeed or fail, I'll love you. If I've got to pull your legs out of the mouth of the lion, I'll pull them out. Whether you listen to me or not, your preacher's always going to be there. Everybody look at me. When you're at the bottom, remember this ugly face. I love you and I'll help you.
That's right. You got a church.
Amen.
And this isn't going to be a church where we're going to make you stand up and tell everybody what wrong you did because you got to confess it to everybody. That's wicked as hell.
Yes, sir.
Preach it.
That's right.
That's not in the Bible. Nobody in this room can forgive anybody else's sin.
Right.
Say, well, you're just trying to cover it up. I don't have to. Jesus covered it by the blood of Jesus Christ if you're saved. It's under the blood. It's already covered, and you don't have anything to worry about.
Amen.
I just want you to know this old man's here for you. And God did some sweet things for us on the trip. There's no way I could tell you everything that happened. I'm not sure we will know this side of heaven everything that happened. Because we don't know how deep the change will be and how many people it will affect. We have yet to see what really took place on the trip. Decisions were made. Young people, listen to me. Whether you made your decision public or not, can I tell you something? You made a decision there in your seat. You better start living it now. Making a decision doesn't do anything. Living it changes everything. There used to be a song, when I was a young person, a lady in my church used to sing a song, "I'm tired of being stirred and not being changed." You can get all wound up, stirred up at a conference, but if you come back and start living like you did before and you really didn't change anything, what good was being stirred up? It's time to change it. Moms and dads, it's time to let them change for the right. Maybe it'd be a good thing if mom and dad started changing with them. We were there, and there was between 1,000 and 1,200 people at the conference. Now, that's a lot of teenagers. That's a lot of junior hires. That's a lot of all the time. they were there from Maine to Southern California, from Miami to all the way up in Michigan and different places. There was about 20 different states represented. And our young people found out they're not the only ones in the world that live the way we live around here. Say why? Did you know that the Bible is the same in California as it is in West Virginia? Do you know the Bible is the same in Maine as it is here? Do you know that they have the same Bible in Miami that they have here? God's way doesn't change just because of geography. Now, it was called the National Young Fundamentalist Conference. They don't put it out there as any pretense. There were 8 sermons in 2.5 days. They got preached at, and I mean they got preached at. They weren't all telling booger jokes and snot jokes and vomit jokes and everything else just to keep everybody's attention. They got up and ripped like I would. It was a great conference. Preaching was spot on, powerful, pointed, applicable. I told somebody, I'm not sure who I told this to, but I was telling somebody, Brother Fugit is a different kind of preacher. He's not real loud. He's not real bombastic. He's not a shotgun, Brother Mike. He didn't come out and just boom, 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 boom. He's a bow and arrow hunter. I mean, all of a sudden it's, but he nailed it every time. It's just kind of like silent death. All of a sudden you feel this, oh, what was that? That's how he preaches. Now, Brother Cooper and Brother Dallas, look out, man. Wind-sucking shotguns. Here they come. Bless God. On they go. And I love it. I loved it all. Then you got Dr. Jorgensen. He reminds you of Yogi Bear. Yeah, boo-boo. I love Doc. And he's a Princeton grad, Princeton engineering grad, summa cum laude, math major. Man's IQ is higher than most of you can count. I mean, literally. And yet, watch the man get up there and preach 2 simple sermons and just rip everybody's face off with a smile. Now, he can look at you and never see you. Because his mind's just so much faster than most people. But you gotta love him. Many of my friends were there. Many of them had groups of teenagers there. I was driving home. I had to drive my truck because there wasn't room in the van for all of the young people and all of our luggage, and we couldn't put a trailer on it, so I had to drive my truck. My phone started ringing and buzzing while I was driving from friends that were at the conference. There were young men there that I trained who are now pastors and assistant pastors. There were people that I trained in Bible college while I was a student that were there. There's men of God that were there that I've counseled to help keep them in their church and keep them going the right direction. I just kept thinking of how many people there that God, through this little old nobody, used to help maybe even be there. Brother Drolyard rode about 5.5 hours with me on the way. I counseled on the way over for 5.5 hours while I drove. I was wore out before we got to church Wednesday night, and it wasn't from driving either. Now, I say that to say this. I want to thank you parents for letting your kids go with us. It's an honor. I'll promise you they were well cared for. We don't let them just run around everywhere on their own, say, y'all meet us back here at such and such time, and we're going to sit on our blessed assurance and do nothing. Mm-mm. We knew where they were at all times. I mean that. I made sure. other people don't do this, but when I travel with teenagers, my rule is this: one adult in every hotel room of the same gender. I don't care if there's one girl, I'm going to have one lady going. If I got one guy, we're going to have one male worker at least. Because I believe that's the way it should be.
Yes, amen.
I have no problem with that. But they were well cared for. We ate well, praise the Lord. They snack well. They don't sleep well. Some don't wake up well. Oh, Adriana's not here. Adriana didn't want to get out of bed one morning. So a couple of the girls said, we'll get her up, we'll jump on the bed. Kirsten started jumping on the bed and hit her head on the ceiling and didn't realize she had grown that much. Yeah, buddy. So we had two of them laying down in bed going, ugh! Anyway, now, let me say this. I want to thank everybody who invested money in our young people to be able to go. There are people in this church that gave hundreds and hundreds of dollars so your kids could go. I mean that. I want to thank Brother Stoltz for working them. We didn't just give it to them. We made them work for it. I believe that young people ought to learn to work for what they get, ought not just be handed to them. I want to thank Brother Stoltz and for pretty much so running everything and leading everything. I want to thank my sweet wife. You know, we've traveled an awful lot these years with a lot of teenagers, but she just jumped right in and just loved on them. She was mama away from home for some of them. And she's a lot of fun. Just don't get her up too early because she gets a little cranky. Don't talk to her till she's got her coffee. Amen, Wally. Say, do you wake up grumpy in the morning, preacher? No, I let her sleep. God tells us here. You think I'm kidding? I'm not. You don't talk to her for the first 30 minutes she's up, or you'll have a good day. You try talking to her, it's not going to be a good day. God tells us here in verse 13 to testify about what God has done. Let me say this. I want our young people to let you know what God did in their life. I've said this before, I'll say it again. I don't expect every one of our young people to go into full-time Christian service. But I do want them to be full-time Christians.
Yes.
I think if they're going to go to college, they ought to put at least a year in Bible college. Get a good, solid foundation. I happen to know a good one. You were just at it. I trust them. Now, let me say this. If you went on the trip, I'm going to ask you to testify. But the day will come when you're not going to have a group of people to testify with. I probably shouldn't say this, but I'm going to. I went on trips like this as a teenager. Now, my youth department was active, busy. It was flamboyant. It was the thing to volunteer to full-time Christian service. You know that I am the only one in my youth department that is now in full-time Christian service? I was only one of three that graduated from a Bible college. I know a young man that surrendered to full-time service, be a full-time Christian, do whatever God wanted him to do. And at 17 years old, I wiped his brains off his bedroom wall when he put a shotgun to his mouth and pulled the trigger on a 12-gauge and killed himself. Say why? Broke up with his girlfriend. Another girl in our youth department. What a waste. None of us are immune to it. But may I say this, how about we just decide we're going to live the Christian life? First, I'm going to ask Brother Stoltz to come up and take, and honestly, we're only going to have about a minute or two each, so hit the highlights. Brother Stoltz, I'm going to ask you to come for just a moment and talk.
So, just so you know, without the preacher, there would have been no trip, there would have been no van, there would have been no raising any money or work, or there would have been no hotel without the preacher. Just so you know, so you need to remember that. We prayed an awful lot about this trip, asked God to work in the hearts of these young people. I personally watched every single one of these people grow. I personally watched every one of them get better somehow. I don't know how to describe it, but they grew, every one of them. And that was so fulfilling for me. I thought, you know, we're all about having every one of these young people go and receive a blessing, and I'm the one who got the blessing. Yeah, I grew in this special way too. But every one of these young people, yeah. So, anyway, it was an incredible blessing for me. I expected the kids to get a blessing, and I got it. Amen. It was just incredible for me. So,
amen. I got a text from Brother Bill Davis this morning early, or yesterday. I can't remember which it was. Let me see if I can find it here. I wanted to read it to you. It says this. It says, Brother Bush, thank you so much. We love you guys. You are a friend. Let your teens and workers know how much I appreciate them coming. You know, when the youth director that ran that entire conference takes time to do that, you touch some lives. Let's see here. Josh, come on up here. I'll let you use that one. Josh is a man of few words. Tell him what the Lord did for you. Told you he had a few words. Here, close your eyes. Nobody's looking at you. Go ahead.
I've decided that I'm going to go after I finish high school, and I'm going to go wherever it is that God wants me to.
Super. Amen. That is awesome. Good job, Josh. Amen. Man, you can have a seat. That's a mouthful for him, trust me. By the way, Brother Stoltz is right. That's a mouthful, period. Being willing to do whatever God wants you to do.
Yes.
That's all I've ever asked anybody to do. If you're willing to do that, Josh, God will take you a long way. God will take you a long way. All right. Julianne, come on up here. She's not afraid to talk. See, I put the one that doesn't talk with the one that does talk.
I thought you were going to ask questions. I didn't think you were going to make me talk about something.
Keyword, you didn't think.
Well, I did
up
think
here
I did.
So people can hear you. Don't you play shy. I don't know who your mother is.
Hi guys. Okay. So I decided that I
she snorts a lot.
Okay, Elizabeth, I'm trying not to be too perky. But I've decided that I wanna do whatever God wants me to do.
Amen.
And not like have a backup plan as Brother Davis is talking mm-hmm. about.
Super.
So yeah.
Man, and I think you're going to Julianne, you're going to be at Commonwealth this fall, correct? Amen. She'll be at Commonwealth this fall. I'm very proud of her for that. By the way, Brother Davis preached a sermon on don't have a backup plan. Burn your boat. If you're going to sell out, sell out. Don't have everything that you need in reserve sitting there behind you. And what a wonderful way to live. You know, isn't it great to see what God's doing in some of our seniors? Both of these young people are seniors.
Amen.
That's amazing. That's leadership. Dr. Lee Robertson. You know, I'm glad I went to a conference where when the preachers mentioned names, it's names that I knew and grew up with. When you hear the names Lester Olof, Lee Robertson, Jack Hiles, J. Frank Norris, those are about the only names mentioned. You know you're in the right conference. They weren't mentioning a bunch of modernist, long-haired maggots using other Bibles. Adriana and Josh and Julianne and I got to eat a special meal with Brother Fugit and Dr. Jorgensen at the college on Thursday evening. And they host it for juniors and seniors. And Brother Fugit walked up to me. You young people did not know this, but Brother Fugit walked up to me. He said, "Brother Bush, you've got a young church. You've got one of the larger groups of young people here, especially from a young church." And he said, "You got three seniors and juniors at this meeting." He said, "Look around." He said, "Most churches don't have that many." He said, "Just so you know, whatever you're doing is working. Keep doing it." And I was pleased with that. You know, sometimes we look at our little building and our little church and think, what are we really doing? We had a group of 14 people there.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
That's a pretty good-sized group, young people. Isn't it wonderful to see what God's doing? I'm proud of both of you. Next, Malachi, come on up here.
Yay! He's not a man of few words, but he'll take a few.
I like shadows.
All right, go ahead.
So, Brother William Davis, is it William Davis?
Bill Davis, yes.
Bill Davis preached a sermon, the first sermon, about, like, throwing stuff off, not throwing stuff off the boat, but, like, lighten your ship so you have a good trip or something like that. So, I decided to do that during the trip, and I had a better time than
super.
I went.
Amen.
Casting out the tackling of the ship, getting rid of the unnecessary stuff, things that are weighting you down. What a tremendous thing. Daisy, come on up here. Yes, you. See, I told you she was easy to scare. Come on up here. You talk about a young lady with a sweet spirit. This is a young lady with a good spirit. Okay. I'll brag on you for once.
Wait, do I have to say my decision?
Yes, please.
Okay. So my oh, my goodness!
Sorry, it was there.
Okay.
Are you okay, Johnny? All right.
Okay, so my decision was to work on the uniform to being a Christian.
Super.
Yeah. So, okay, no, I'm telling the story. So.
You got a booger on your finger?
No. Okay, so he kept scaring. No, wait. Okay, he kept scaring me and Jessica. And so we decided to get him back. And we were at a gas station. Okay, I'm trying to tell the story. So we were. Okay, so he was putting gas in his truck. And me and Jessica were walking, and I told Jessica, "Hey, we should get him back for everything that he's done." So, like, we went behind his truck and we tried to we tried to creep up on him. Okay, so he turns around and we creep up on him and we go like, "Boo!" And his eyes popped out and he goes, "Whoa!" And I was really, I felt accomplished.
And how many times did your eyes bug out? You lost count, didn't you? Oh, she's working on the uniform of the Christian, learning to dress right. By the way, that's very powerful. That's hard at first, but it's very necessary. And thank God for it. By the way, she's got a great spirit. She really does. You all ought to be very proud of your kids. I mean that. I know young people very well, and you can tell by a young person's attitude a mom and dad's influence. And it's there. It is there. Kirsten, come on up here.
Yeah. Don't jump off the chair. You will hit your head. All right?
I thought you were going by age, so.
No, I'm not going by age. See, they think they got it all figured out, but they don't.
Well, my favorite preacher was Brother Davis, but the sermon that really stuck out to me was Brother Cooper's sermon about how someone had to get the next generation had to pick up the ball of Christianity and keep it, passing it down, and not let it lie in the streets. So it was really, I really enjoyed that sermon.
Amen. By the way, about 35 years ago, Kirsten, I heard a man preach a sermon just like that, I decided I'd give my life to passing the ball to the next generation. I got the ball from the previous generation. I've been carrying it, but I'm keep passing it down. Amen. That's what it's all about. Elizabeth, come on up here.
This ought to be interesting. Scott, keep your mouth shut, all right? This is her chance to talk, not yours. Go ahead, Elizabeth. Try to be nice.
I wasn't even... All right. read the Bible more and...
Amen.
I'm honest.
Ouch.
Amen.
For Elizabeth.
There.
All right.
To read her Bible more. That's good. It's not easy getting up in front of everybody, is it? When you take it out of your mouth, it doesn't fall asleep as fast. We had a good time, I'll promise you. They're good kids. Mrs. Bush, how about you come on up here? I am not going to make fun of her. too late.
Folks, you only have to visit it. She's got to live with it. Go ahead.
I think the conference could be summed up in the preaching on doing the will of God.
Yes.
And you've heard so many sermons. Look for it. Where are you going to find it? And am I in the right place? Am I doing exactly what I'm supposed to do? One of the preachers, I'm sorry, I don't even remember who it was, but they made it so simple. The will of God is to follow Him. And I think if our young people would grab that, just follow Him, whatever He wants you to do, you'll be doing the will of God.
That's it.
And I'm thankful for my husband, who that was his desire. Our whole marriage is to follow Him.
Amen. Brother Chris Dallas preached that sermon. Preached that John chapter 21. We had two sermons out of John chapter 21, and they were totally different types of sermons, but wow, they were powerful. Can you see what God did a little bit? Let me ask you a question. How many kids that went to the bar or going on spring break can come back from spring break and talk like this? Johnny, come on up here. It's okay.
I'm scared.
Yeah. You look like it.
I am.
I believe it.
Well, basically, for me, I kind of... the sermon that really stuck out to me was Chris Dallas's, because he kept, like, screaming and stuff like that. And because when he said to follow God and follow Him, yeah, that really stuck out to me, so I decided to follow God.
Excellent. Excellent. Great job. I'm proud of you, son.
You know, each preacher was very unique in and of themselves. I had never heard Brother Chris Dallas before. I did not know him. He's a powerful preacher. I went up and met him, talked to him after the service, and after we're in our new building, we're going to hear some of these people come to our church, just so you know. I've talked to Brother Cooper, and Brother Cooper's going to come. I've talked to Brother Fugit. He'll be coming. I did talk to Brother Dallas. I'm going to talk to him more in days to come. I don't have somebody just because I hear them preach one time and think they're good preachers. I got to know them a little bit better. I'm sorry. I don't trust anybody behind this pulpit till I know exactly who and what they are and who they're running with and everything else. And I believe he's a good guy because Brother Fugit wouldn't have him otherwise. But I just got to know him a little better before I trust you to them. How's that sound? And Johnny, that's an important decision right there. Dawn, come on up here. This is
her last hurrah as a teenager, amen? She's into the adult world now.
Yeah.
But what I learned, I don't know which sermon it was, but I learned it's not always about what you want, it's about what God wants. I made a decision to do what God wants, not what I want.
Amen. That's awesome. Again, that was Brother Dallas's sermon, or Dr. Jorgensen. Both of them preached on the will of God. At that moment, I can't remember which was which on that one. Rose, where you at? Come on up here, girl. Another one of our bus girls. I'm proud of this young lady. She seems to be quiet, but she's really not that quiet.
Yes, I am.
Step up just a little bit okay. So they can hear you, all right?
I really like the Brother Davis. Brother Davis?
Yes, Brother Bill Davis.
Okay, Brother Davis and how he preached and stuff, and then I just liked him.
Amen. Super. And by the way, I watched many of our young people take notes. They were all given a booklet, and in it they can take notes for sermons, and it's a Walking with God notebook that they have. And let me challenge you, young people, do it. Do it. I'm going to make a statement to you. I don't care if you read through that Bible every year, but read it every day. Just read it every day. If you'll just read it every day, God's got a chance to speak to you and through you. Bear with me for a few minutes here. Let me help you for a moment. I'm going to try to get through this. But I love you, kids. I mean that. Brother Stoltz and I have grieved over this more times than you'll ever know. This building is not conducive to do what we want to do. It's not. It's we can't do the things we want to do with you. There's no room. I mean, you don't even have your own room for Sunday school. You're crammed in between first through third and fourth through sixth graders screaming and hollering, and you got to listen hard, and I understand it. And by the way, it's not fair to them either, because they got to listen to Brother Stoltz. And I know it's coming, but if you'll bear with us, I'm pushing so hard. But I have some dreams, I have some goals. I'm going to set them forth tonight. Brother Stoltz and I have talked about many of these. I can't tell you exactly when it's all going to happen. It's not going to all start next week, all right? But it's going to happen. It's been in play. And as we get room and space, and there's some things, Brother Stoltz came to me with an idea that he's working on, and I would never ask him to do, but he just feels like it's something that he may try to do. And if he does, it's going to just be a game changer to help us. But I would never ask him. But I need the adults, I need the teenagers, I need those that are going to be teenagers in days to come to listen. There's some things that I'd like to start. I want to start a teen choir. You don't have to sing good to be in a teen choir. Thank God. Can I tell you something? There's something wholesome about teenagers singing. And things started up Wednesday night at church, and I heard all those young people singing, and I about came unscrewed. And it doesn't take long to unscrew me, but it just, there's something about teenagers singing. That's very, very powerful. It's powerful for you, but it's also powerful for those that hear you. You say, well, preacher, where are we going to sing? You might just sing as a bunch of teenagers. That's fine. But every once in a while, I might have you get up in church and sing. And there's nothing to be ashamed about. You say, well, we don't sound real good. Who else does either? Anybody's going to criticize you. They're not up here singing. Don't worry about it. You heard their teen choir get up. Did you know everything wasn't perfect with their teen choir? And they sang at a national conference. Nobody laughed at them. Maybe the guy that didn't comb his hair. No, I'm teasing. But can I tell you something? It doesn't matter. Just learn to sing out. Enjoy it. Have fun with it. We're going to start a teen soul winning program someday. How and when, I don't know yet, but we're going to do it. Amen. We're going to start having more and more activities, and it's very hard for Brother Stoltz and his schedule, and honestly, I guess I shouldn't be so lazy, but my schedule's been so hard, it's hard for me to run teen activities with everything else I've been doing. And I apologize. I have failed you. I'm not afraid to say that. I wish it was more, but may I say this? Jesus didn't say, upon this rock I'll build my activities, that I'll build my church. I've tried to keep the church solid so that we have something to build on. I have dreams of having a Sunday afternoon program for our teenagers. Some of you that come in on the bus, maybe we can convince moms and dads to let you stay on Sundays, and maybe that's when we can go out and do soul winning and do some things like that and have teen choir practice. And I have visions of people coming in, some of you lay people coming back for a little while every once in a while, and some of you ladies teaching the girls about sewing, and some of you men teaching some of the trades things that you do, and having some time of teaching like that. Teaching them scripture and just have a time together. And, you know, you got to realize we've got folks from Boonesboro all the way down to Winchester. And teenagers don't drive themselves. Somebody's got to get them back and forth. So some of this is to try to keep everything here while they're here and not have to make everybody run all over God's creation all the time. We're going to work on it. I'm going to need some of you to step up and be workers and helpers with this. And everybody look at me, I love you. But if you're going to help, I'm going to need you to dress right to help. I can't expect our young people to dress right if you're not. But I'm not changing what God said for anybody.
Amen.
And it's not that it's anything that difficult, but may I say this, it's something we're supposed to do as Christians, but if you're going to take leadership, I need you to step up. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm not trying to be nasty. But in a world where people don't even know what bathroom to go in, somebody's got to teach our young people what's right and wrong.
Yes,
I want our youth department to be fun, exciting, clean, spiritual. You all had 3 days of good, clean fun. Enjoying each other, having fun with people that are like-minded, not getting too annoyed with each other. and on and on. Can I tell you something? It's a good way to live. You may not understand this. Young people, listen to me. Your high school friends and your church friends, you won't have them long. Your college friends are going to be more your friends for life than your high school friends. Very few people keep in contact with high school friends. Very few. But I think those that will and serve God with your life, there's a higher percentage of it. And by the way, Brother Fugit did something that was just amazing. Of the 1,000 or so young people that were there, it was amazing. About a third of them were public schools. About a third of them were homeschool. And about a third of them were Christian school. It was about even all the way across the board. And it's about what it is in our church. Pretty well across the board. Can I tell you something? That's the way it is all across America. Someday maybe we'll have a Christian school. Not soon. I know that disappoints you. We don't even have rooms for Sunday school, let alone Christian school right now. But it's coming. I'd like our teenagers to dress right at church services. Need you to set the pace. I want you young men to start wearing shirts and ties. If you need ties, you let me know. I'll get you ties. God knows I got a closet full of them. Brother Stoltz, if they need ties, you let me know. I'll get them. I want you wearing shirt and ties to all the services that you can. I'm not going to be looking down on you, but I need you to start doing it. Good night. I've worn a tie around this stupid neck almost every day for 35 years. If I can do it, anybody can. I feel as comfortable in this as I do my camo hunting. I'm not kidding. I don't almost, my wife every once in a while, she'll see me do this and she kind of chuckles under her breath. But if I don't have a tie on, when I sit down at a table, I'm still holding it in so it doesn't tie to, you know. I've worn a tie so much, it's natural when I sit down to do this so I don't get my tie in my food, you know. It's just what I do. Yeah. I don't have to keep my ties in the refrigerator that way, Brother Mike, so they don't spoil. I want our girls to wear modest skirts. Girls, you need to cover your knees. It needs to be below your knees, all right? You say, why? Because that's what God said, not what the preacher said. Nakedness starts at the knee. Okay, remember Brother Davis talking about nakedness? You know, if you think Peter was out on the boat in the sunshine on that lake with nothing on, man ought not get sunburned like that. You don't do that. Yeah, buddy. You just don't do that.
Right.
All right? And by the way, it said he threw his coat on him. That means he probably had his shirt off. You got to keep a shirt on. At home, you know, you ought to dress at home like you're supposed to dress everywhere else. That's good stuff. May I say this? If it was good enough for the conference, it's good enough to live that way 365 days a year. It's just that simple. And don't get mad at me. I'm not going to be marking down who's naughty and nice, who's obeying and who's not. I'm just letting you know what will help you. I happen to know something about young people. There was a couple of young people from a church there that my daughter knew. And I said, that young lady right there, is she a troublemaker? She said, oh, Dad. How in the world, out of 1,000 people, can you pick that one out? I said, I can tell just by the way she carries herself. I mean, it was that quick to me. Say why? I know people. You heard Dr. Jorgensen say, the first thing you'll change is your dress. The way you dress. Everything else hinges on that. Yes, sir. Can I tell you why some of you girls had such a good attitude on the trip? Because you were dressed right. And everybody else was dressed right. And this is what we expected. Moms and dads, I can help you. Expect them to dress right at home. Everything will be okay. When they start whining and complaining about it, you're supposed to lead them and say, doesn't matter what you whine and throw a fit about. Do it anyway. When you move out, you make your own decisions. Until then, this is the way it is. Thus saith the Lord. They don't have to like it. I can see in our afternoon program teaching on etiquette a little bit. Fellas, that means you're going to learn hunting and the girls are going to learn etiquette. no, there are certain things in etiquette that a young man needs to know how to do. Listen to this. Let me show you what I mean. We were in the hotel room, the guys were in the room all together, all of us guys, and I was ironing a shirt. I was ironing Brother Stoltz's shirt because he was doing some other things. One of the teenagers said, I said, does anybody else need one? One of the teenage young men said, I need to get one. I said, sure. And on my feet, I thought very quickly and said, I could do it for him, and I'm not afraid to, or I can teach him how to do it, and he can do it the rest of his life. And I taught him, and everybody else was standing there watching. They were learning as he learned how to iron a shirt. It wasn't that I did not want to do it for him. He didn't know what I wanted for him was to learn how to do it, because someday, mommy ain't going to be there to do it. Preacher's not going to be there to do it. And you got to learn how to do it. I thank God for a wife that irons my shirts. But if it gets busy and she doesn't have one, I don't get her up at 5 o'clock in the morning and say, hey, woman, you didn't iron me a shirt. Say, what do? You get up and iron a shirt. I don't even say anything to her. I just do it. Well, that's not real manly. Making somebody else do it is manly. Well, that's a woman's job. When you live in a college dorm, there ain't no woman there going to do it. You better learn how to do it. I've learned how to do it on an ironing board, without an ironing board, on the edge of a desk. I've done it on the carpet. You name it, amen? Military style. I've learned how to iron it on my bed so that it doesn't burn everything. And don't get it dirty laying out on the floor. Good night. You see, there's more to life than just the big things. It's the little things. It's the little things. I asked one of the boys one day and one different one the next day to go to the desk and get more towels. Say, why? Were you too lazy to do it? No, they need to learn that if they're in a hotel and there's not enough towels, what to do. Every little thing I did was for teaching. It wasn't because I don't know what to do. Oh, trust me, I know what to do. I was the one that brought candy and things to the room so they could chow down at night. Shh. But at 3:45, when that stupid alarm of yours went off, every 10 minutes, I was a little upset. Till 4:30, from 3:45 to 4:30, every 10 minutes, that thing went off. I finally said, Josh, kill that thing before I kill you. And I hear Brother Stoltz saying, thank you. And 3 minutes later, I hear, Brother Stoltz is snoring away, man. It was great. Our young people are the next generation that will lead. You young people, listen to me. 20 or 30 years sounds like a long time to you. It's fast. Another 15, 20 years, y'all are in leadership. In another 10 years, virtually every one of these young ladies is old enough to be a mama. Be graduated from college and be married and a mama. You're going to face hardships. You young men in the next 10 years, old enough to be working on your own, supporting a family. It's serious business. It's serious to me. It really is. I wish I could tell you it's going to be an easy road. I wish I could tell you young ladies that everything's going to be warm and fuzzy and easy. But it's not. I wish I could tell you that each and every time you get pregnant, that baby is going to go to full term and be okay. But you may lose them. You may have a child die. And you better learn that this old preacher knows a little bit more than you think right now. Because your heart's going to be broke. You may get married and everything's going to be fine. And 6 months later, as I've been at the hospital, I watched a 20-year-old man die. And that lady walked in as a young married lady and walked out a widow at 20, 21 years old. You wait till the preacher has to walk over and you've had a 6-7-month-old baby die of crib death. And you're at the hospital. And the nurses need to take the body to the morgue and the preacher's got to reach into your arms and take your baby out of your arms and give it to a nurse to take to the morgue. I've done it. It's not fun. Our church will invest in our young people wisely. We'll love you. We'll help you. We don't expect a lot. We just want you to, as some of you young people said, we just want you to follow God. Do what God says. Die to your dreams. Do what God wants you to do. I'll finish with this. My son Jeff was there for most of the conference. He'd work all night long. One of the nights he worked a 12-hour shift and sat through the conference all day. Got a few hours of sleep and came back and sat through the conference that night and worked 12 hours that night. And came back the next morning Say why? Sit by his mama. 23 years old, sitting by his mama, putting his arm around his mom, squeezing her. Getting ready to go into the police force. I was very proud of him. He's not a preacher. He's a layperson in the church there. Worked 12 hours last night. Texted me this morning on his way in from his bus route. And he said, Dad, I hate time change. It kills the bus route. He said, I didn't have as many to preach to in junior church today. He preached in junior church. He's like Johnny. He's afraid to talk in front of people. He's like Josh. Man. Jeff's not a man that likes getting up. But man, does he love his bus kids. You know, if that's what you do with the rest of your life, I'm happy. If that's what God wants you to do. That's what it's all about. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Let me ask you a question. Are you 100% sure you're going to heaven? You've watched young people who God has touched their lives, but have you ever trusted Christ as your Savior? I'd say, preacher, if I died today, I am 100% sure, I know for sure that I'd go to heaven. Would you raise your hand? God bless you. You can put your hands down. Who'd say, preacher, if I died today, I'm not sure, but I'd like to know. I won't come to you. I will not embarrass you. I'll not call you out. You say, preacher, that's me. I don't know that for sure. Would you raise your hand? All right. Who'd say, preacher, somewhere tonight, God got a hold of my heart. There's something in my heart that needed touch tonight, and God touched it, and I needed that. Would you raise your hand? Oh, my soul. Dozens of hands. Dozens of hands. You may put them down. Some of you young people might need to give up something. Whatever it is,